Well, hello, my friend, and welcome to the Heritage Hour. I'm Mark Gonzalez, your pastoral encourager for Southwest Florida, here at the Royal Palm Association of Churches, and I'm so delighted to be with you on this Saturday morning. It's been our custom for about 29 years now, and hey, if you've been with us recently, you know that I'm going through a series that I'm doing down at East Naples Baptist Church, where I'm serving as interim pastor for the next 2 or 3 months or so, and love to see you down there, by the way, if you're a Naples area listener. And it's about seasons of change, and today we come to a message that I'm calling We Are Unique. And if you have your Bibles, we're going to be going to Romans chapter 12. And as we get started, as is our custom, oh, let's just go before the Lord and ask Him to speak, shall we? Well, Lord, we are indeed very grateful that You give us the opportunity to come and sit at Your feet and listen for Your heart-to-heart, oh, thoughts with us. Lord, You have given us so much in Your Scriptures. You've given us so much in the body of Christ around us. And Lord, we love pulling it all together just to get a glimpse of what You're doing and how You've designed us and what You have in store for us, Lord. And that's just a joy. So today, as we're looking at how You have been so amazing in creating each of us so uniquely, I pray we will learn to not just appreciate how You've created us, but how You've created each other. Thank You, Lord. We love You, Lord. And we pray this in the powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and by His precious cleansing and healing, transforming, empowering, and forgiving blood. Amen. Amen and amen. All right, my friends, if you have your Bibles, we are going to Romans chapter 12. We're going to be looking at verses 3 through 8, and this is where we get a list of the spiritual gifts that many of us call the motivational spiritual gifts. In Ephesians chapter 4, we have a smaller list of spiritual gifts that are commonly called the ministry gifts. And then over in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, there are actually two lists of spiritual gifts, and we tend to call those manifestation gifts. And of course, when I do a series on this, we kind of blend them all together and talk about the differences. But today, we're just focusing on those in the book of Romans, the seven listed here that are kind of our heart wirings. It's how God has created us on the inside. And I believe He's given us two primary gifts as we get started. And then He sprinkles in a little bit of the others. But as we grow more and more in Christ's likeness, once we become saved and continue to abide in Him and let Him just change us from the inside out, well, because Jesus had all of the gifts, we will begin to reflect all of the gifts as we grow more and more in the Lord Jesus Christ. So the longer we've walked with the Lord and the more deeply He's been impacting our hearts and transforming us, the more difficult it would be to discern which of those gifts were the original two primary ones, because we're taking on more and more of the others as well. But for most of us and most of our lives, those two primary gifts tend to be the dominant way that we operate and how we're seen and how we impact others. And so it's good to know and good to learn how to appreciate it, because they are very, very different from each other. And it's the mixture of these that make all the difference. So let's begin our journey here in Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 3, where the Bible says, "For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think." Hey, let me stop there a moment. Right off the bat, we get some guiding principles. Number one, we are not higher than anybody else. Our particular combination of spiritual gifts, our particular approach to life, our particular perspectives are not higher than anybody else. We're on the same playing field. We have these gifts that are given to us, as we're about to see, but number one, we are not higher than the others. We might think of ourselves that way when we get frustrated with others and can't understand others, and they don't understand us, but that doesn't make us any higher than they are. Now the scripture goes on, but we're to think so as to have sound judgment as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. So I love this phrase, by the way, how God has allotted to each a measure of faith, and later we'll see grace and the grace gifts. You know, here's another guiding principle. We receive allotments from God. That which we have, everything that we have comes from above, so we cannot take credit for it. Certainly can't see ourselves more highly than others. God is the one who's allotting these things, and I just love that concept. So keep that in mind as we go along. Now, verse 4. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we, who are many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Two things come out of that for me. One is, we are different, but one in Christ. This is so important, and this is a good time to remind you of the difference between unity and uniformity. You see, unity is kind of, it can be illustrated by a symphony orchestra. 80 instruments, not all of them the same at all. You have some stringed instruments and brass and reed instruments and percussion. And even within those categories, you have differing instruments. And they're playing different notes. And this is what produces harmony, a beautiful harmony. The different sounds, the different notes woven together create the beauty. The unity comes because they're playing in the same piece of music, and they're playing in the same key, and they're playing at the same tempo, and they're playing under the same conductor who keeps them in tempo and gives the feel and the flair for that particular orchestra and the piece that they're playing. So there's agreement on some things, like I just mentioned, but yet there's diversity in the types of instruments and the types of notes that they're playing. But they all work together for beautiful a symphony orchestra. That's unity. Uniformity would be if all 80 instruments were tubas. They all played middle C. They played it kind of in a plodding quarter note cadence, ba 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 ba, and after they did that for 2.5 minutes, and the conductor says, "Thank you, that was song number one. Song number two, we'll be playing the note E." Now that's uniformity. Now, how many of you would pay, $75 or $100 or $150 to hear an orchestra with 80 tubas playing quarter notes? We don't want uniformity. We want the beauty of unity with the diversity of instruments and the notes, agreeing on some things to be sure, but allowing for that harmony. That's what it is with the spiritual gifts. Different instruments or gifts played differently in stylings, but yet agreeing on some things too. That's unity. And then it goes on in verse 6. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. And here's our last guiding principle. Not only are we not higher than others, not only do we receive allotments from God, not only are we different, but one in Christ, but we are giving differing grace gifts. And the way to understand, here's another metaphor. If you've ever bought paint at Home Depot or Lowe's or Sherwin Williams or wherever, isn't it interesting how you have a primary base color, but then they add just little drops of a red or a blue or a black or whatever they are, and depending on the proportions of those droplets that are added, once it's all mixed up, it creates a unique color. And as you know, there are thousands of shades of color, tons of different greens, tons of different reds, and so on and so forth. Well, so it is with these gifts. We may have one or two primary gifts, but then the sprinkles of the others, then all mixed together, makes us unique. We are a color mix. We are a gift mix within ourselves. And then in the body of Christ, we're a gift mix from church to church. And God is the one who equips us this way and puts us in places, and we need to learn together, to work together, to appreciate the differences, not be frustrated by them. But to be honest, we do tend to get frustrated with those people who have gift sets that are not like ours, and is therefore hard for us to understand, and it's hard for them to understand us. So let's take a look at those seven spiritual gifts, these motivational spiritual gifts, these heart wirings. They're listed beginning in verse 6, where it does say again, since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith, there's number one. If service, number two, in his serving. Or he who teaches, in his teaching. He who exhorts, in his exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads or administrates, with diligence. And he who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. So here we have the seven gifts. There are hard wirings allotted by God that cause us to be so different. And here's how I want us to kind of walk through them. You know, last time, if you had a chance to tune in, I shared with you how Jesus structured the Sermon on the Mount and how he began, and this is how we should have those tough conversations with people. He began by comforting them first. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are they who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Then he affirmed them. And he said, you are the light of the world, or the spices of the world, and you are the light of salt of the earth, I should say, spices of the earth, and you are the light of the world. He affirms them. Then he does the reveal. You have heard it said, but I say unto you. You have heard it said, but I say unto you. It's in that order, and it's for a reason. We need to be reassured emotionally and comforted. Then we need to be reassured intellectually and for our ministries and being affirmed. And then we do the reveal of, well, there's some things we need to talk about, some blind spots. Well, guess what? These gifts lend themselves to those three categories. We're going to start off with gifts that comfort, then gifts that affirm, then gifts that reveal. But those working together as a blending is what God wants us to understand, both collectively but also individually. So here are the three gifts that comfort. Number one, if you're a note taker, number one is gifts of comfort. And here's the three subpoints. Mercy, the gift of mercy, reassuring others of their high value in God's eyes. I use some animal metaphors, by the way, to help these become easier to remember. And so I'll have seven animal metaphors for each of these gifts. So for the gift of mercy, we have the dove. A dove, a peacemaking dove. We think of peace when we see a dove or see it written about, a small bird that softly coos. And these are the people that notice those that are hurting at the party or in the church or in school or in the family. They're drawn to them, and they're drawn to them to want to see how they're doing, to pray with them, and to reassure them of their high value in God's eyes. They're gentle. They are sensitive. So you have to be very careful for how you interact with a dove. You don't want to hurt them or scare them. You don't want to yell at them or screech at them. And they don't like to be demonstrative. They don't like to force their will. They like to give you hints and hope that you pick up on them. And that's the heart of a dove. My wife has got, actually, she's got all these three gifts that comfort very strongly. I'm going to be at the other end of the spectrum. So you can imagine when we get down to the other ones, how we can have some misunderstandings and how you can as well with those with their varying gifts. So we have gifts that comfort that are out there. And some of you are hardwired with the gift of mercy as one of your dominant gifts. You may also have the second one under this category, the gift of service. Serving is doing things backstage for the glory of God. These are the kind of folks who love to use their hands to cook or clean or fix or wash or whatever. They just love serving, doing things backstage. So they don't want to do it in front of people. They don't want to be highlighted. They don't want to be spotlighted. They're like squirrels. You know, have you ever tried to pet a squirrel? You can't. It scurries off. It's a little more private. So people who are given this gift of service as a primary gift love to do that work in the church kitchen. They love to do the lawn work. They love to work on painting rooms and laying down carpet and taking meals to something and loading trucks and all kinds of stuff. We need them. And by the way, these gifts that comfort, these are like 90% of us have these dominant gifts. The other ones that we'll see, 5% in one category, 5% in another, by design. And that's how God has allotted to it. So most of us are mercy. Most of us have a big dose of service. Most of us are doves and squirrels and honeybees, which is a metaphor for giving. Giving. The gift of giving is sharing tangible things to bless people and build God's kingdom. Man, they love to give money. They love to give generously. They love to take meals over to somebody. They love to buy gifts to make people feel very appreciated. And again, as I mentioned earlier, my wife Lindy has these particular gifts very dominant in her heart and life. She's really helped me over the years not dread or lament buying gifts during Christmas season, in particular when it's so busy. She says, honey, we didn't want to just get it done and get something. This is a chance to show how much we love and appreciate those that we love. Same thing at birthdays, same thing at Valentine's, whatever occasion. She loves to give gifts, very, very generous. And of course, that's a godly characteristic. And by the way, we're all called to be generous givers. It's just that God has gifted some from the get-go to have that kind of a generous heart. And I just love that about my wife and many of you who maybe have these as your one or two or three primary gifts. Now, that brings us to the second category, gifts that affirm. There are two here, the gift of administration or leading, and the ant is our metaphor here. And then the gift that's very different, but yet still affirms just in a different way, is the gift of exhortation, which will be the dolphin. So let me just share with you the differences here. Those with the gift of leading or administration, these are folks that organize and mobilize others to serve the Lord and one another. They think in organized patterns. They think ahead. They think about the next steps that are needed. They see the gift sets that are around them and know how to affirm the people that of what their gifts are and offer them an opportunity to serve. And by the way, this ant, this administration or leading gifting can be manifested as an introvert, a quieter type, you know, behind the scenes, which mercy and service and giving or the doves, squirrels, and honeybees are in that introverted category. An ant can sometimes be up in that category, but they can also be the extroverted types, which we'll see in the next three giftings. They can go either way. They're kind of the swing position, but they're the ones that organize and mobilize the body of Christ. These are the people whose, you know, their closets are very organized. The pantry is very organized. The shoes are lined up in a row. Garages, they're clean and orderly. Workbenches, workstations, they have, you know, pegboards that have everything in its place. These are people that just reflexively are very organized, and it translates into organized people to do kingdom work. We need them. Now, there are not many that have this gift. Think of your typical church or school or family. Usually one or two, you know, a small minority are going to have that inclination. The rest are going to be in the other categories to serve and follow and that type of a thing. Maybe not too organized, but we do have those that are. The scripture talked about the ant over in the Proverbs. Consider the ant, O sluggard, who gathers in the harvest so that they'll have plenty during the times of leanness. Well, the other gift that affirms is the gift of exhortation, and this is inspiring and mobilizing others to bless and serve the Lord and each other. Inspiring and motivating others is the idea here. These are the folks that, hey, we can do this. You know, they'll put your arm around you. They're the life of the party people. They're the ones that bring spark to the room, hope to everybody. We can do this. You can do this. Man, I'm glad you're here. They're such encouragers. They exhort people and inspire them to get with it. You know, it's one thing to be organized to do it, you know, but we need the people to inspire us and motivate us to do it. That's why dolphin is such a great metaphor. When you think about a dolphin, they're always smiling, they're splashing around the sea, they're dancing around. I mean, they are just parties waiting to happen. We need those kinds of folks. And there's only a handful of those in any given group. The people who walk into the room and just automatically light it up with their effervescence and all, that's the gift of exhortation. These are the dolphins among us. They're the life of the party. They're the hope for the heart. And they just have that gifting from above to bring that kind of energy and hope to the body of Christ. It's rare for God to put similar folks together in marriage. Usually he puts opposites together so they can balance each other out. But we had a couple that were both dolphins in our church all the years I was pastoring. And man, they did the best vacation Bible schools as a team. They could recruit people. We had 100 people coming to serve as VBS leaders for a couple of hundred kids, you know. I mean, we just had a great ratio like that because they just generated that kind of enthusiasm, and we had a ball. So we need those kinds of folks among us, to be sure. Now, here's the thing. They don't tend to be well organized unless they have the gift of ant within themselves, which is kind of rare. But picture a ant mom and a dolphin daughter. Mom's got all this organized closets and pantries and stuff, but the daughter, her room is a wreck, and mom can't understand why her daughter can't be like her. Well, because she's been hardwired, gifted as a dolphin. Why make the bed? We're going to get back in it in a few hours anyway. Dolphins got that energy, but they're not real organized. That's why they need ants around them. Now that brings us to the gifts that reveal. Dolphin is obviously an extrovert. Now we have two other extroverts, but very different. The gift of teaching, that's a tiger. The gift of prophecy, that's an eagle. Let me tell you why. The gift of teaching is explaining the comprehensive insights of God through His Word. These are the people that see the meat of the Scriptures. You know, there's a passage in Hebrews that talks about the milk of the Word, but then, you know, those that are maturing like meat, and boy, teachers, they dig into the meat of Scripture. They don't just say something simply. They explain the comprehensive insights of God. They go deep. They go wide. They're the ones with the outlines. They're the ones with the charts and diagrams and all when they teach, and they love to go very deep. Now, somebody with the gift of service is outside of my window right now. You might hear this lawnmower going by back and forth, and I'm grateful for that, so pardon that extra noise if you're hearing that. But I love those with the gift of service. Anyway, back to the teacher. So what teachers don't realize, though, is they can intimidate people. They can know so much, and they can share so much. They can just back up the truck and just pour out all that information on people, and it just smothers them. As children, these are the ones that are constantly asking questions. They're the ones who get it, who go up and correct, you know, older folks. Oh no, that's not right. It should be this. Oh, that's not right. And you know, parents have to coach them. No, you don't do that. That's not appropriate. You see, tigers, those with the gift of teaching, can intimidate people, and they don't even realize it. And so it is with the gift of prophecy, which is declaring the black and white heart truths of God. Eagles, they don't just say something, they declare it. These are the bold, born leaders type. They say things strongly. They're very decisive. They see the world as black and white. You're in or you're out. You're off or you're on. You're hot or you're cold. This is what the Word of God says. Get it. Nail it down. Don't forget it. And, when they teach or preach or counsel, they hit one or two major points, but they hit it hard. It drives tigers, teachers, crazy because there's so many more passages and so many more nuances dealing with this. Let's talk about that. The prophet gets frustrated with teachers. You're confusing us with too many scriptures and too many nuances. Let's get to the main point here. So you can see how there's differing approaches to the preaching and teaching of the Word of God because of those gift wirings. And eagles, think about the eagle, looks like it's always frowning. It's got that pointed beak that rips up meat. It's got the talons that rip up meat. They fly high. They see big picture quite reflectively. When they swoop in, it's a huge predator bird. Imagine an eagle coming in, swooping in to talk to a dove. It's overwhelming because when eagles talk naturally, they screech. A dove's coo. So you can see how those with gifts that reveal, tigers and eagles, can inadvertently intimidate the doves, the squirrels, and the honeybees and ants, and even some with the dolphins. although the Dolphins' excitement and effervescence can kind of handle the Tigers and the Eagles and say, well, hey, that's just who they are. Let's have some fun. So this is the menagerie. This is the zoo that we have of all these different gifts. And when you have different gift mixes, well, that's what makes us unique. And so we have to learn how to speak each other's language. You know, with me, with the dolphin, tiger, and eagle thing, I had to learn how to speak dove and squirrel and honeybee for my wife, our second and third sons. Now, our first son was more like me, dolphin, tiger, and eagle. We already spoke the same language. This is why in families, some parents and children are get each other more easily than others, but it's just because we have gifts that differ. And in the body of Christ, it's the same thing. Learn to appreciate each other. And if you're a dove, a squirrel, a honeybee, an ant, and you're talking with a dolphin that's splashing around loudly, or a tiger that's growling with their information and their knowledge, or eagles that are screeching with their prophetic declarations, okay, they're not mad at you. They're not trying to overwhelm you. Just divide what they say by two. And you other guys going in the reverse, multiply by two what the others say to get their intensity level. And those are just simple ways to learn to appreciate the differences we have in the body of Christ, because He made each of us unique. Well, Lord, we're so grateful that You did make us unique and our brothers and sisters unique. May we appreciate what You've done in us and use it responsibly. And may we appreciate those giftings and others as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm Mark Gonzalez. Oh, until next time, appreciate the variety of unique gifts in one another.